I could preach easily a month of Sundays just on that particular chapter. There's so much going on in there. The letter that was written, some earlier manuscripts do not have the word in Ephesus, to the Christians in Ephesus. It just has to the Christians. So it was meant for those in Ephesus, but it was also meant for everyone. That's kind of not just in Ephesus, but everywhere. That includes us. Paul spent several years in Ephesus building and encouraging believers there. And if you're kind of interested in some of the things that he did and happened in Ephesus, you can read about that in Acts 19. Paul is not one to avoid controversy. In Ephesus, he created a lot of controversy. He preaches in the synagogues. Of course, that's the easiest place to start, and that's where to go. And it doesn't take him long before he makes a lot of people upset and that he's unwelcome in the synagogues and he can't preach Jesus in the synagogues anymore. And so he's kicked out of all the synagogues and he starts preaching in homes and he starts preaching in lecture halls and on the streets and where everybody could listen. Anybody that was anybody could come. And he would debate on philosophy and religion. And Ephesus was a huge city. It was really kind of an epicenter for commercial trade, for politics, for both Greek and Roman gods. There's temples built to Greek and Roman gods there. This is several years later when he writes this letter, after having been there. And he's sitting in prison while he's writing this letter. And this letter is not written to address any specific questions. It's not written to correct any heresies that are going on in the church. It's not written to deal with any problematic scenarios that he's hearing about in Ephesus. That's kind of Corinthians and Galatians. It was sent to encourage and to strengthen the churches that were gathering in the name of Yeshua, that were gathering in the name of Christ, that believe Jesus rose from the dead. We are gathering here today in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus the Christ, Emmanuel. Then we too should be encouraged by the words that he writes to believers, that he writes to strengthen our souls and encourage us. The letter in itself is really kind of divided into two parts. First chapter, three chapters. The next part is the last three chapters. The first part is about the gospel. It's about God's grace, spiritual blessings that he pours out upon you. The last three are a little bit more about the story within the body. It's about how we function together, about how we operate as the body of Christ. So Paul starts out pretty simply, Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God. So, right out of the gate, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. How? Big statement. That'll make you think for a while, and it should. And he unpacks it a little bit for us. How did you come to know the Lord? How would you call yourself a disciple of Christ? By did you come to know your Savior by the will of God? And so even thinking about that, did you feel pursued by God? Even when you were far away, did you feel drawn? Did you question things? Did you not quite understand, but there was a something that was making you inquisitive or drawing you? Paul's been walking with the Lord for over 30 years at this point when he writes this letter. He's been on mission trips all over the place, encountered all kinds of cultures. He's been making disciples, and he's been planting churches. He's been writing letters. He's been debating in synagogues and debating in lecture halls. He's been beaten. He's been whipped. He's been left for dead. And now he's in prison writing a letter to encourage others. Hey, join me in the will of God. Such is the will of God for Paul. Such is the will of God for those early disciples. And since you've come to know Jesus by the will of God, how's it going for you? Are you blessed? Well, I haven't been beaten. Are you blessed? Well, I'm not imprisoned for my faith. Are you blessed? Well, I'm not hungry today. Do you think God had a plan for Paul? Do you think God has a plan for you? Sometimes we don't like it. Doesn't always feel so good, but by the will of God. So here's your first one, plan. I had a little joke there, but I can't. Oh, did he have a plan for Paul, John, Ringo, and all the Beatles? I don't know where I come up with this stuff sometimes. Am I really going to read that? Come on. God has a plan. Trust it. Live it. Enjoy it. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption into sonship through Jesus Christ. In accordance with his pleasure and will. The Lord our God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and it is his pleasure to do so. This is so significant. I don't want you to miss it. God's will for you to be blessed. It is God's pleasure, his divine plan to spiritually bless you, to bring you close, to draw you close, to give you understanding, to give you wisdom, to give you insight, to give you eternal life. He predestined a relationship with you. How wonderful are you? How much God thinks of you before the creation of the world? How long has God been thinking about you? Long before you were a glimmer in your daddy's eyes. Long before it would take place in the physical realm. Decades, centuries, millennia would pass. Then you, God's good, perfect, pleasing will, his pleasure to draw you. God's plan comes into fruition. God has indeed blessed us. He's revealed himself to us. He's not given up on us. He's been very, very patient with us. And oh, so kind. He's been waiting for your moment. And the heavens rejoice. And you've been given all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. I think that God loves his creation. What do you think? I think he loves people. He loves people. people. He created us in such a unique way. Wouldn't you say we're a little bit different than the other animals? Other mammals? Wouldn't you say we're a little bit different than, say, fishes and birds? For certain, just being a human being, not human doing, just being human. Do you feel different than the rest of creation that you observe? Why wouldn't you? We have reasoning abilities, cognitive thought, creativity, writing. We're the only species that writes, the human species. We are a unique creation on the planet. There's something about people that just sets us apart from the rest of creation. You agree with that? It's amazing to me, isn't it? It's amazing what God has done. And we just think about the billions of snowflakes that are going to fall. And then we would go, you know, no, there's not one of them that's going to be exactly the same. And we believe that, absolutely. Each one is unique. How unique are you? You know you're unique simply by your own fingerprints, simply by your own DNA. There's no one else like you on the planet. You are unique and special and created to be just as I am. God does something amazing every day. God does miracles every day, and you're one of them, and you're one of them, and you're one of them, and you're one of them. And we're all different. Is that okay? Is that okay? I mean, we like different things, and we're all different. You know, if we all wanted the same thing, everyone would want to marry Melinda. Thank God we're different. God has a plan. He always did. And that plan includes you. Now the question starts to rally. Are you ready to work out God's plan for you in your life? Are you ready? It could mean jail time. Are you ready? It might mean some different friends. It could mean I'm ready to serve and honor the Lord with all my heart and all my soul and all my being. That might mean you better be nice to your neighbor. It might mean you better be kind to the people that don't vote like you. It could mean you need to be generous in your giving to the church. It could mean that you need to volunteer at church. Are you sure you're ready to fulfill God's plan for you? Not your plans, and then ask God to bless them. No, 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 no. God's plan is where the blessing is. In Christ, you've been given great spiritual blessings. You have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, and you've been given wisdom and understanding. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into full effect when the time reaches its fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Christ just didn't affect this earth and people, affected all of God's creation. Can you imagine the Creator becomes creation and all the other creations are going, what? How amazing is that? And in Christ, we are all unified. There's a perfect will of God in Christ. Now watch. Now we're going to move into some of the little bit, maybe some controversial theology. But you're going to have to contemplate and wrestle with some of the ideas, particularly the will of God and your free will. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, So your next one is predestination. It's a big term. But this is a simple question. If God is not in charge of your salvation, who is? Is everything in conformity? Not just earth, but all of the heavens? Is all things under the authority of Christ, even the lost? Is God surprised by your sinfulness? Is God shocked by the behavior of this mankind that he created? Is God somehow out of the loop? He's like really not in touch with current reality. Our God's an old God from the old times. He's not relevant anymore. Maybe he's just not up to speed with today's economics. Is God's will being accomplished? Or has he lost control of things? See, if I was a wiser minister, I would deal with all the other things that are going on in that chapter. And there's a lot of stuff going on in that chapter. This is can be a heavy topic because, you know, it'd be easier to deal with. You just skim over that. Yet deeper things of God require contemplation. They require you to squirm in your seat a little bit. They require you to dance a little, like, huh? What? He's making you think. He's making you challenge the inbred things that you've learned that maybe you need to unlearn. So I know this for certain. Here's your next slide. That some things are just tensions to navigate. They are not problems to solve. Circumstances are many circumstances that are arise. They're not problems you're going to solve, but they are tensions you need to navigate through. That's just like saying, you know, people are a problem. But people are not a problem. They find themselves in circumstances that they need to navigate themselves through. People, you don't solve the problem of people. And we have to wrap our minds around this. You don't know everything. I hope I didn't ruin somebody's day, but you don't know everything. You might think you do, but then there's this God who likes to frustrate you with knowledge and his sovereignty. You will say things and then, yeah, but God. And he just radically changes everything. And we all need to determine the depth of our own faith about some of the attributes of God. And if we're going to land there, if we're going to believe in those things, if we're going to walk in those ways, is God omnipresent? Is he everywhere? And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which many of you, if not all of you are, I believe that, where can you go where God is not? And is he omnipotent? Is he all powerful? Can he bring healing where there seems to be no healing? Can he bring redemption where there seems to be no redemption? Can he bring the dead to life? Is he omniscient? Is he all-knowing? Or is, oh, there was a surprise. Geez, I didn't know Jess was going to do that. Is he omniscient? Is he all-knowing? Even though the mystery of Christ has been revealed to us, there's so much more to God than we can ever even begin to fathom. Yet only in Christ can you ever even begin to unravel the thoughts and the processes of God. The big issue that gets everyone speculating, all the theologian scholars all pulling their hair out, is this one here. Is can free will, it's the next slide, and predestination exist simultaneously? You guys didn't know you signed up for a theology class today. But. And how do we rationalize some of this in our mind? God knew us before the creation of the world. He chose us, predestined us according to his plan. All things work out for the fulfillment of his purpose. How am I not a robot? How am I not just, it's been the will of God my whole life. It's just, right? How am I not a robot? It's imperative that we are able to grasp the idea that none of us are worthy of salvation. None of us are worthy of salvation. We don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve grace. That's what makes it so awesome. We've all gone our own way, and mankind is under a curse, and it's rotting and decaying away. The world is fading away. Death is approaching us all. We rebelled. We disobeyed. We questioned. We fought against him. We dishonored him. We defied him. Our thoughts are bad. Our attitudes are bad. Our actions are bad. This is people that he created. We took a good relationship and squandered it, wasted it, abused it, ignored it. Oh, I have free will. There's no question about it. There's a couple images that have kind of helped me along the way, especially kind of in understanding omniscience of God. I have a picture here of my beloved dog. Listen, now a couple families have lost dogs this week and put them down. So we grieve for all of you. Pets become part of the family, don't they? And they can be part of your family for many, many, many years. So our hearts are with each and every one of you. But I know this about my dog. And I know these things because I'm omniscient. I'm prophetic. I have foreknowledge. I've predestined it to be so, according to my good will and my good plan. I will place a plate of lettuce, and I will place a plate of steak. And I will ask my dog, choose. Is my dog free to choose? My dog has free will. Given him free will, but there's something instinctual in his character, in his creation, that draws him a certain way. Man was a predestined relationship with God, and evil deceived, and we disobeyed. We went against what God had wanted for us. And then there's another one, another picture. This is my beautiful wife. And of course, you know I have her all figured out. I expected a much bigger laugh than that. I am all-knowing concerning her. I can predict and prophesy and predetermine the events in her life. I know because I am omniscient and I am all-knowing that she will not drive to Miami. This is an absolute. Is she free to drive to Miami? Absolutely. Can she drive to Miami? Yes, she can. Is she going to drive to Miami? No. No. There's a pattern to her and the way in which she's been shaped and molded by environment, and the way in which she was created in this place, in this moment, in this time, God thought of her long before she ever arrived. She was predestined to be exactly who she is. Another one might be this. This is one of my earlier understandings about trying to understand some of this, is that, you know, next week I'm going to call a meeting, and we're all going to meet on Main Street, 1 Main Street, Orlando. Okay? Next Thursday, Main Street, 10 o'clock. We'll meet in Orlando. The plan is perfect. The destination, predicted. Preset. My will to be there. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Go to Orlando. Some won't go because they won't drive. Some will jump on 95. Some will take the turnpike. Some will hop a train. Some will rent a car. Some will wait 3 more days and then leave. Some will arrive maybe late, I don't know. But the destination, already assigned. Predestination, predetermined. The infrastructure, already in place for you to go. How you get there, free will. What road do you choose? I know this, we're all going to be in Orlando, one way or another. The fulfillment of God's plan will transpire. And I know this, here's your next slide. There is a final predetermined predestination, and it's not Orlando. You choose. You got two choices. I also believe this. Death will interrupt your free will. The Old Testament was a great picture map telling us of the coming of the Messiah. And be ready for the Yeshua and the coming of the Messiah. Get ready. It's predestined. It's predetermined. It will be a mystery that will be unfurled. Fulfillment is inevitable. Fulfillment is imminent, meaning it will happen. Predestination is the knowledge that he already knows. He's omniscient. He created you with certain attitudes and certain personalities and gave you a certain environment and put you in a certain time frame, in this moment, in this time, and in this space, for this very choice, for this very moment. He created people for his pleasure to dwell with him. People choose not to obey or to follow or to be with him. His desire that none should perish. Did he know that some would choose him? Absolutely. Did he know that some would not choose him? Absolutely. Because hell is not filled with people that God rejected. Hell is full of people that rejected God. He created people to choose steak or lettuce. You've been given a lot of free will. But I can tell you this, Orlando's on the horizon. And approaching fast. And then there's this thing that kind of gets me all jazzed up a little bit. There's this thing that happens. And it happens to those that are believers. And it just catapults them into this heavenly realm. It just catapults them into this spiritual understanding that actually governs your walk and governs how you look at people, view people, or even view his creation. When you believe, we got any believers in here? Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. We got any believers in here? Let me see. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit of God. Believer, you got the Holy Spirit of of God. Believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God. Believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God. Believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God. He has promised you and guaranteed your inheritance and marked you and given you himself. When you believed the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. God's good pleasure to give you himself. God's great praise and glory. Listen to this. God's great praise and glory to himself is you. You. I can't even wrap my mind around that kind of a fact that he loves you and gave himself. What a wonderful compliment. And when you think about it really, isn't that the most intimate of actions? When you give someone yourself, the most intimate of actions. In fact, if we went the other way with that, we would think it would be a huge personal violation if someone was to take you against your will. I don't think God's going to be a sinner who takes you against your will. But he will offer you himself in love. And when you gaze upon another believer filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the light of the world, the body of Christ, what do you see? When you see people, what do you see? Here's another picture. It's unified and diverse. That's the universe. It is very unified, but it's diverse. That's the body of Christ. Unified, but very diverse. And only those in Christ can even begin to understand, as the Holy Spirit of God anoints and empowers you to be able to see in the spiritual realms, not the things of this earth. Sunday school has been wonderful, just even this morning, about just the ways of this world. Very different than looking at walking in the ways of God. Paul says a prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Wow. That's an awesome prayer that he prayed for you. God wants you to hear this prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for those who believe. That's your next one, power. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule, far above all authority, far above all power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. God did that with Jesus, with the same power that he had, that he gives to you. What an awesome prayer. Full of power. But we have to receive. We have to believe. I want to be an answer to Paul's prayer. I am an answer to Paul's prayer. I pray that over my spouse. I pray that over my family. I pray that over my church. I want to speak the name of Jesus. and the power of the Holy Spirit that is upon you. You are prayed over. You are long time loved before creation. God was waiting, uncovering, unfurling, moving in a way that it would be this moment and this time. Brothers and sisters, the power of God is upon you. Not sometime in the future, not after your death, now. Now. Are you frightened? Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fear no more. Are you sad? Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Be sad no more. Are you confused? Are you uncertain? Are you shivering about your future? Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Are you disillusioned with this world? Walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Are you hating the people that God would die for? You better strap up and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You better scrape the scales off your eyes and start seeing people as Christ and God saw them. Are you feeling guilty? Shed it, cover it in the blood of Jesus, and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Are you ashamed of your past? Cover it in the blood of Jesus Christ and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You are everything to God. You are His good pleasure. You are His glory. You are His praise right now. You're the apple of His eye, the joy of His heart. You're an answer to prayer. He's been waiting for you and waiting for this moment. That you would be here to hear this, that it might mold your heart, transform your soul. You are the light of the world. You are complete and made whole. You are set apart. You're different. You are very unique to anyone else in this world. And only you can have a relationship with God that you can have. No one else can have it for you. You and you alone. You are sanctified. You are justified. You are protected. You're called and entrusted. You're the salt of the earth. You're more than conquerors. You're warriors of righteousness. I don't know who you think you are, but I know who God thinks you are. You are His. You are His child. Rise up, church. Walk in the power that possesses you. Rise up, church. Run the good race. Fight the good fight. Hold on to your faith. Rise up, church. Be all that you can be in Christ. Rise up, church. Make a statement of your faith. Be a light unto the world. Rise up, church. Demonstrate your patience. Demonstrate your goodness. Demonstrate your generosity. Demonstrate your kindness, your goodness. Demonstrate the love that you hold. Rise up, church. Demonstrate forgiveness. Demonstrate reconciliation. Be the Holy Spirit of God. Be the movement of God in this place. Around those that are with you, you have a circle of accountability around you. Let God work His mighty work in you and through you. Show the world what Christ can do in a life. Contemplate the mysteries and the wondrous God that we serve. Behold the love that He lavishes upon you. Walk in that power. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, deep spiritual things that we've discussed to the depths of our soul. Father, we don't get it all. We don't understand it all. But You've given us something. You've given us insight and knowledge into our salvation. You've taught us and showed us about what it is to not just believe in Christ, but to be in Christ. Fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, Father, that we might walk with power and demonstrate to the world what God can do in the life of a believer. Continue to shape us and mold us. Challenge our thoughts. Rearrange our thoughts that we might have your will done in our lives. Give us eyes to see as Christ. We're so grateful, Father, for all that you've done. Washing us clean that we might deepen our relationship with you. You have folded us into a fold, Father, and you have called us the body. You have called us soldiers. You have called us to run the good race and fight the good fight. And Father, we need you. Continue your good works in us and through us for your honor and for your glory. In the name of your Son, amen. God bless you guys.